Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game.
You're tuned to The Beacon, KSJE 90.9 FM. I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with
Ashley Londy
and Trevor Mava.
And you are listening to A Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week, we have Robert Downey Jr. in The Singing Detective. After that is Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito in Throw Mama from the Train. And we're going to finish with out in theaters now, Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool 2. But let's get things started with The Singing Detective. It stars Robert Downey Jr. as an author with a debilitating medical condition who is quite delirious, a bit paranoid, and going back and forth between fantasy and reality as he grapples with his past, his feelings towards his relationships, and his modern medical problems.
You know, personally, I don't want to walk down no mean corridors. No, sir. But there's just no payoff in picking bluebells. Am I right or am I right? God, listen to that, would you? Can you hear the guy? Anybody'd think his arm was being twisted. Now, we've all been in pain one time or another. What I say is, when you're dealing with the devil, praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. I am not wrong.
The Singing Detective was based on the television series by Dennis Potter, written for the screen by him, and directed by Keith Gordon, and stars, of course, Robert Downey Jr., Robin Wright, Mel Gibson, Katie Holmes, Adrian Brody, John Polito, Carla Gugino, and Jeremy Northam. Now let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of The Singing Detective?
I had never seen or heard of this film before we set to review it for the show, and now I think I know why. This movie is not good. It has this sort of surrealist feature that you're not really ever sure what's real or what's in the main character's head, but at a certain point it all doesn't really matter because none of it is good. You don't have a good sense of what's wrong with him. You don't have a good sense of what his disease is. You get bits and pieces of his life and his story, but none of it really ever comes together to tell you a complete story. It's my understanding that the original BBC program is very good and has a lot of great pieces to it, but this film is not. This film is difficult to follow. And really, I don't know that Robert Downey Jr. does his best work in it. He tries. I mean, he certainly is trying to portray this person in this horrible skin condition as well as how he imagines his main character to be, but it's not good. I hated watching it. I felt lost. I felt like I didn't know what was going on. I watch a lot of movies. I've seen a lot of really weird plot structures, and I could not come to grips with what was happening in this film for like 90% of it, and it just doesn't work. I'm going to tell you to stay away from it. I'm not going to recommend it. I don't think that this is good cinema or even remotely entertaining.
Trevor?
Yes, I agree with Ashley. Before tuning in this past week, I saw that this movie got 39% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. And looking back, I'm reminded of the famous scene from Bull Durham where he's yelling at his players and he asks the assistant manager what their record is, and he says 8-16. And then he stares at him and says, "How did we ever win 8? I just really didn't see the appeal in this movie. There was one part that made me smile, and it was when the main character said to himself, "You can't do three things at once." And it was almost like they were making a joke about how they completely failed to make an entertaining movie out of these three subplots. I, too, never really fully understood what was going on. I thought Robert Downey Jr. played paranoid pretty well, but it wasn't enough to make up for how his character was despicable, and there just wasn't enough to latch onto here that was even remotely enjoyable. The budget on this movie was $8 million, and it's clear that where it all went was to the compensation for Adrian Brody and Mel Gibson and Katie Holmes and, of course, Robert Downey Jr. And if you'd seen that this movie was on Prime with the description that it gives for the movie and with this cast, you might think that this was worth tuning in for, and I think we're here to tell you that it's not. I can't recommend it.
I'm also not going to recommend it for general audiences, but I do think it has a place for aspiring filmmakers and students of literature and plot structure and narrative. This is an interesting movie in that regard. It plays with perspective, it plays with point of view and writing structure and dialogue. And while it could have been really interesting overall if it had more production value, I agree with my compatriots that it did kind of flop. It just didn't have enough money pumped into it for it to really succeed, like similar movies like, say, Shutter Island or the like. It needed some computer graphics or better cinematography or better editing, and I want to say better direction and definitely better makeup effects. There are just too many ticks against it to really support it overall. That being said, I kind of like how brave it is. It's kind of like a David Lynch noir film, but I can't really say that because David Lynch already did noir with Lost Highway and Twin Peaks. And I want to enjoy it for what it is. It's just there's so much about it that draws it back. Overall, I will say stay away, but it's kind of a guilty pleasure too. On that note, final thoughts, Ashley.
It's just so bad, and there's no redeeming quality that I can find in it. I don't understand how I can be so confused and so put off by a film at the same time. To not understand what's going on and to still hate it, that speaks volumes to me. 0 stars.
Trevor?
Adrian Brody and Mel Gibson were underutilized. You could say the same thing for Katie Holmes. This movie was a mess. I agree with Ashley. 0 stars.
Well, I'm not quite as harsh as my compatriots, but I still will say stay away. This is a week 1 out of 5 for me. And that'll bring us to our second DVD of the week, and it is Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito in Throw Mama from the Train, in which they play writers, aspiring and otherwise. One is a teacher and one is his student, and they find themselves in the predicament of having people in their lives that they want dead. And Danny DeVito, being a somewhat secluded personality in this feature, takes it upon himself to force a crisscross situation like strangers on a train.
Okay, here we go.
Eggs a la Owen.
Owen, you've got to get it through your thick head. I may be a lot of things, but I am not a killer.
You don't have to blow her brains out or anything.
Thank you. That takes the pressure right off.
She's old. She's got a bad ticker. All you gotta do is jerk around a lot when you talk to her. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Lift.
Stop it.
Well, just meet her. Maybe she'd be somebody you'd like to kill.
Irvin, what the hell's going on out there?
Nothing, Mama. You woke her up.
Who are you talking to? Who's in there with you?
Nobody, Mama.
Who's this?
This is Cousin Patty. He's going to be staying with us for a while. Isn't that nice?
You don't have a Cousin Patty.
You lied to me.
Throw Mama from the Train was directed by Danny DeVito, written by Stu Silver, and of course stars Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito, but also there are Kim Griest, Anne Ramsey, and Kate Mulgrew. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Throw Mama from the Train?
This was my pick for this week, and it's a film that I've sort of watched several times throughout my life, and I've enjoyed thoroughly every time. I actually had no idea that Danny DeVito directed it until Nick just said that, so good props to Danny DeVito, because I think that this film, the direction is one of the strong points, and I really enjoy it. This movie, if you've never seen it, it's available now. I think it's on Amazon Prime, and it is hilarious. It's very funny, and it has so many pieces to it that are funny independent of each other that you can really watch the film and get something different out of it each time that you do. The central plot is hilarious to me because you sort of have this unwilling co-conspirator in Billy Crystal and you have this overly eager personality in Danny DeVito. But there are serious moments of depth to both of the characters that really give you a lot of insight into the strength of the acting and the strength of the writing of the character. I think that there are parts of this movie that move a little slow. There are pieces that could probably have been trimmed up in the editing room or eliminated altogether. But the movie is just funny and entertaining and has a good plot and really gives you a lot. If you've never seen it, I will recommend it. I think that this is one of the films that a lot of people are going to enjoy and will have a good time with. And you've got Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito at some of their strongest points. So if for nothing else, it's great performances from both of them. I'm going to recommend it.
Trevor?
Yes, like Ashley, I've seen this movie a few times, and I think if myself from college had been reviewing this movie today, I'd probably be giving it a little bit heartier of a recommendation, just because I have seen it six or seven times, and I'm not sure it was quite as funny as I thought it was when I was a little younger. I'm not sure if that's because I grew out of some of the humor, or if just because it wasn't new to me anymore. But I will agree that this movie is a good comedy that also has a plot. It's enjoyable to watch, and it doubles as a bit of a crime drama. This movie's just an hour and 21 minutes long, and so I think its review should be dinged a little bit because there is that bit of a lull in the action in the first part of the second act, but it ends really well and it leaves you with a better feeling about the overall movie. I think that it starts really well and it's certainly really funny in the first half, and I bet that keeps up pretty well throughout it, but I think most of the memorable parts are in the beginning, and I think it deserves to be rewarded for that because this movie does make you laugh and there are a lot of funny parts. Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito are great, and if you haven't seen it, I'll recommend it.
I too enjoy Throw Mama from the Train, and I like how both of our movies, at least on DVD this week, were talking about writers and their troubles, and that was really most of the appeal for me because I've been on both sides of the coin, I think, in terms of writing, whether it's Larry or Owen, and it's just a fun watch from a creative perspective. I do think that I will agree that it kind of has a slowdown, and some of the hamminess early on with Kate Mulgrew, it doesn't quite feel right. I think if they were going to play on this kind of melodrama, they should have amped it out all the way throughout. But the second act kind of switches gears, and it becomes more of a buddy comedy than this kind of pseudo-noir crime thriller. I still like Throw Mama from the Train. I think Anne Ramsey is a gem. I loved her in The Goonies. And she just plays it really great as the woman that kind of deserves to be killed. But it's cute, and I love the resolution. And honestly, it's just a fun film. It's just kind of cheesy. I don't think Danny DeVito did a terrific job directing it, but it's still pretty fun, so I can't really fault him. Overall, I'll give it a general recommendation. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I've honestly never thought of this film as cheesy, but I can see where that comes from. I think that there's a little bit of cheese here, and I can see where it maybe isn't super great cinema, but it is one of my favorite movies. I think it's very funny, and I love rewatching it every couple of years. I'm going to give it a very solid 3.5 stars.
Trevor?
This movie is so far above average and so far from perfect at the same time that for being a comedy from 1987, it's very recommendable as well. A strong 3 stars.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 3 stars is a good rating for Throw Mama from the Train. It's not perfect, has a lot of heart and good moments and some decent meta qualities too. So yeah, good general recommendation there. 3 out of 5 from me. And that'll bring us to our cinema release of the week. And it is Deadpool 2, in which Ryan Reynolds reprises his role as the scarred super-healing mutant with a mouth so filthy that your mother couldn't kiss it. And the misadventures that he goes on in trying to save the life of a powerful but misguided mutant.
They're headed into the tunnel.
I'm that kid's only hope, so sit tight and wait for my word.
Whatever. We're gonna lose them. Drop it in. It's Cable, 12 o'clock.
New plan! Use all of your imaginary powers to stop Cable from killing that kid!
Deadpool 2 was written for the screen by Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, and Ryan Reynolds, and was directed by David Leitch, and of course stars Ryan Reynolds, Josh Brolin, Marina Baccarin, Julian Dennison, Zazie Beetz, TJ Miller, Leslie Uggams, Brianna Hildebrand, and Stefan Kapisik. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Deadpool 2?
Somehow when the original Deadpool came out in theaters, I missed it completely, so my only experience watching Deadpool before now was doing it on DVD, and it was hilarious and such an incredibly good movie. I think that it is only natural that the sequel should suffer a little, and it does. Ryan Reynolds seems to not be as connected to this character in the second film as he was in the first. I think in the first film, Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds were, they knew that they weren't superheroes, and they knew that they were who they were, and that was okay. It was okay for Deadpool to be a bad guy or not a good guy. And in this film, I don't like the struggle between him being a hero or a villain. I don't like it. I want him to define who he is and go with it and be confident in himself. And maybe that's why the film suffered for me, because Deadpool didn't seem to be the same self-assured character that he was in the first film. Props to Julian Dennison. I thought that he was really interesting as Fire Fist. He brought a lot to his character even at such a young age. I will have to ding the costume people for putting him in a fat suit. It was obvious in a lot of the shots that he wasn't as big as they were trying to make him out to be. And I don't think that was necessary. He could have just been who he was in his own skin, and it probably would have worked even better. Josh Brolin is the star of this movie as far as I'm concerned. He really brought it, and he was completely embodying Cable, and I really thought he was a great villain. But I have to be honest and say that this was not as good as the original. And I don't know that I'm going to very strongly recommend it. It's going to be on the edge.
Trevor?
Yeah, I think I just have to come out and say that my review might not be worth very much here tonight on this movie, because I didn't like the original Deadpool. With that in mind, I had pretty low expectations for the sequel, and that kind of led to me enjoying parts of it. Like, I took the funny parts for what they were and just kind of stomached the rest of the movie. I thought that the action sequences were below average. I thought the writing was kind of lame. I was mildly entertained with the realness of the love story that Ryan Reynolds was able to portray, his feelings that he has for his wife in the film. But my entertainment just sort of subsisted from there. I just don't like the idea of Deadpool. I don't understand how he can blow himself up and survive, but yet when somebody swings a car door at him, you know, he's down for the count. I'll agree that the child actor, Fire Fist, was above average, and I also enjoyed the acting from Josh Brolin. If you're a huge fan of Deadpool, you're probably going to see the sequel anyways, and if you're not, then I won't recommend it.
Well, while I enjoyed Deadpool 2, I definitely agree that it is much weaker than the original. The original was much more self-contained, the story wasn't all over the place, it just dealt with a core group of characters and a core theme. And in this one, there's just way, way too much going on. There's a second act gag that goes on too long and introduces a bunch of characters that really have no other importance to the plot and are just there for that act. And I'm really annoyed with that. I do think that the humor was pretty decent, and I loved the references and the gag cameos that show up here and there, but there's just not enough of the original pluck from the first Deadpool that survives in this one. Maybe it's because the first Deadpool was an origin story, and this one is supposed to be, we've established the character and let's play with it and mess with tropes and mess with narrative and structure. But it's not done in a clever enough way, so I just can't support it as strongly. That being said, I still think it's worth a Saturday matinee, and it's definitely for fans of the first one. Just go in with the foreknowledge that you're probably going to be a little disappointed. It's just not as strong as the first one. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Ashley.
I think that Nick is being kind when he says that this is a little bit weaker than the first one. I think that this is, like, it decaffeinated compared to the first one. It's just, there's nothing here that really reminds me of what I loved so much about the first movie. And I can't do it. I'm going to give it 2 stars because there were some great effects. There was some great acting from Josh Brolin. But the film itself, it's not that good.
Trevor?
I think this movie is almost surprising in the sense that it can have so many funny parts, be so big budget, and be so well active, and still be so poor from a plot and a writing perspective. I'll agree with Nick that if I hadn't seen this movie in theaters and it was coming out on Netflix, that it'd be worth tuning in. I don't think it was terrible. And I'll agree with Ashley. 2 stars.
Well, I think I'm a little more forgiving than my compatriots. I'm going to give this a rough 3 out of 5. It definitely wasted a good portion of the potential from the first film, but it's still pretty darn fun. I just think it needed to bake quite a bit longer. And that will bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far in the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our community and to KSJE and San Juan College for hosting our program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael. I've been sitting here with
Ashley Lundy
and Trevor Mayville.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations coming up. Solo, a Star Wars story. Can beauty come out?